He is here. And I trust that's the thing we're always aware of when we gather corporately to worship, that He's with us every day of the week. And certainly as we gather together in the fullness of our individual worship, God is here. God is with us. And are we aware of His presence? Let's pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to the truth of His Word this day. Lord, Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You speak to us. The power of Your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. And use Your Word as an instrument, the power of the Holy Spirit to mold us and shape us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So our scripture this morning continues our look at Mark chapter 10. Sometimes we read these verses and we read them so academically and we miss the spirit and the emotion. So today, don't do that. Try to put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. So let's start with verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling to you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. I recently read an article in Albans Institute magazine called Congregations, and it was on a rather unique theme, and it's what drew my attention to it. It was on the theme of following. It meshes nicely with the text for today. So this is one of those sermons that I'm going to tell you at the outset. I'm going to borrow heavily from that article. I'm going to attribute it to them so that I'm not going to be accused of plagiarizing. The article laid out that issue of following so wonderfully well, and I want to give credit to whom credit is due. But today, as I alluded to earlier, is also Reformation Sunday. This is the Sunday we remember that Martin Luther, too, understood what it was to follow Jesus, and not merely those who set themselves up in the way of authority. And it didn't go so well for Luther. He was excommunicated by the church at the Diet of Worms and branded as an outlaw by the emperor. But Luther would follow Jesus and the call of Scripture that the just shall live by faith and not by works. Luther was not without his faults. We looked at that last year in our Reformation Bible study. But Luther, too, fits with the theme of the day for me. He didn't follow the normal route laid out for him by man. He didn't follow what many had come to understand that a priest should do or a monk should do. He instead understood that there was one who was Lord of the conscience, and that was Jesus Christ. And he was bound to follow his Lord in the dance of life, regardless of the cost. And follow him he did. The gospel account is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Now, I asked you to put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. You're the blind beggar. And you're sitting there and you hear that Jesus is coming. I'm going to guess you're going to do exactly what Bartimaeus did. You're going to yell, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And his friends and the other ones were like, Bartimaeus, hold it down a little bit. That's not very dignified. We don't do that in our Presbyterian churches. Bartimaeus would have none of that. Because Bartimaeus was a blind beggar, and he understood that in this one, Jesus of Nazareth, he believed to be Messiah. Jesus, Messiah, Son of David, he was calling him, "Have mercy on me." "What do you want, Bartimaeus?" "I would like my sight." The long and the short of it is, verse 52, immediately he regained his sight. And then we read the little phrase that I want to focus on today. He received his sight and followed him on the way. Makes perfect sense when you put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. But for Bartimaeus, his life had been changed and transformed in an instant. He was blind, but now he could see. Can you imagine that? Some of you, I've talked with you, you've had cataract surgery, right? And you marvel at the difference, right? I mean, it's gray and it's muddy, and then all of a sudden you have that surgery and you're going, "There's colors." And you're shocked. Well, multiply that 100-fold. All of a sudden, Bartimaeus, who was blind, could see. You bet he's going to follow Jesus. This one had transformed his life. Following Jesus is exactly where you and I are supposed to be as well. That should be our response to the grace of God in our lives. How many of you are familiar with, I know in this congregation, most of you, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, right? Yeah. I mean, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, what a couple, and what great dancers. But there's a saying that Ginger Rogers danced the same moves as Fred Astaire, but she did them backwards and in heels. She was following the lead of Fred Astaire. And I'm going to draw on some analogies between, so you can get your dancing shoes out and kind of get your mind on some ballroom dancing. Bartimaeus learned to follow. Ginger Rogers learned to follow. You and I are called to follow. Follow Jesus in this dance of life, for he is the Lord of the dance. He's the one who takes the lead. You and I are called to follow. Now, I get across my desk with some regularity flyers about books on leadership, strategies of leadership, styles of leadership, books on leadership. I don't get any books across my desk that are entitled Excellent Followership. Don't get those. Or Following Well. Check it out. Go to your Christian bookstore and just see how many you find on that. In our culture, we don't put a premium on following. We encourage our kids to be leaders. And we tell them, don't what? Don't follow the crowd. I'm convinced that the best leaders are those who have learned to follow. So what can we learn about following from Bartimaeus? What can we learn about following from Ginger Rogers? What can we learn about following? I've learned that I'm not always so very good at that. Joyce and I have taken some dance lessons from time to time. Those stories could fill a book. My wife is back there sweating bullets going, what story is he going to tell now? I'm not going to tell any of them, honey. It's okay. I've learned some things. By the way, I had to learn a lot about dance because when Joyce and I got married, I've got two daughters who were in dance. How many of you have been to a dance recital? Yeah. And then my daughter now is a dance instructor. So the beat goes on. I went down in my garage, and there above my motorcycle, I stopped dead in my tracks. There above my motorcycle were hanging dance tights that had been hung above my motorcycle to dry out. And I'm going, this, I got, honey, I was speechless. Motorcycles, dance. But I've learned some things over the years. I learned that if we're going to dance together, you've got to maintain a connection to your partner. The hold can't be too firm or too loose. The connection has got to be solid and consistent. One's got to lead, the other's got to follow. But if one's got to follow, they got to know where you're leading. I suspect that for Bartimaeus, for us and our spiritual life, our ability to follow depends on our maintaining our connection to the Lord of the dance. I can picture Jesus extending his hand to me and inviting me to follow. And as the divine lead, he never forces or coerces or pushes. And yet I've got to be willing to accept his lead. I've got to be willing to be responsive to that lead. I've got to be willing to trust his leadership. I can't follow if I don't maintain my connection. Jesus is the Lord of the dance. I am not. The second thing we learn about following is that our job in this dance of life is to actually move. It's not about just learning some steps. This isn't line dancing. Apologies to our line dancers. It's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about following. And sometimes the one who is leading takes a rather unexpected turn, right? And if you're not following the lead, what's going to happen? Well, we get our feet tangled up and things don't go so well. But Jesus understood that calling us to follow means that we need to get up and move. It's not about standing firm on tradition. It's about having spiritual energy to get up and follow his lead in our lives. Jesus, in teaching his followers about what they must do after he was gone, said, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but will do even greater things. Why? They were following the lead of the Lord of the dance, and they were moving and following that lead. Our job in following Jesus Christ is simply stepping out and moving and trusting his leadership to maintain our connection. Now, it's true. It's true our dance partner could run us into a wall, right? You've got your back turned. You don't know what's behind you. So you're trusting that one who is leading to keep you out of harm and to keep you from a catastrophe. Our dance partner could make us look rather silly, but he does not. But as we trust completely, we are freed to move. Is it risky? Yeah. But I like to think about following our dance partner whom we trust implicitly. To follow the lead of the Lord of the dance means that sometimes we may get our feet tangled up. To follow the lead of the Lord of the dance may mean that we have to love our enemies because that's what he did. We may have to pray for people who hate us. We might have to give more of ourselves than we might want. We may make a wrong move and have to be put back in our place as the Lord of the dance corrals us back in the way that we should go. But moving is part of the dance. Do you remember back in junior high? I know, that's a stretch. If you can remember way back then, think back with me to the junior high dance. What happened at the junior high dance? Where were we? We were against the wall. And we looked at all the cute girls out there and we thought, nah, yeah. So we stayed against the wall. And there were a few who actually got up and got up the nerve and went out there and danced. And they got to dance with all the cute girls. And where were we? Against the wall. And we missed the whole thing. Sometimes that's the church. There's the dance of life and the Lord of the dance. And he says, follow me. And we're plugged against the wall of tradition. Or we're plugged against the wall of whatever it may be. God wants us to move and follow in the dance of life as we maintain our connection. And then, the dance of life requires balance. And I asked Ginger Rogers about that. Not only did she have to make the same steps backwards and in what? Heels. Now, I can tell you I've never danced in heels. You're all glad about that. I have no idea, but it's got to be tough. It's hard to walk in those things from what I've seen. And now you're going to make dance moves backwards. It requires some balance. The balance between being right, being loving. The balance between loving over hurting. The balance between speaking and listening. Or just loving. And then the dance requires us to take one step at a time. Where I get into trouble is when I start thinking about 10 steps down the road. One step at a time. Following the Lord of the dance. Not everyone dances the way we think they should. You've been to those dances where you look at some of these people out there dancing, and particularly rock music, not so much ballroom dancing, but rock music, and everyone's supposed to move in their own way, right? I got no clue. What am I supposed to do? I got no rhythm. What am I supposed to do with my feet and hands? And it's like this, they're just not connected, and I'm going, oh, yeah. Slow dance, I'm all right on that. I can handle that. But the others, it's like, not my cup of tea. But each of us following the Lord of the dance in our own way, rather than condemning and judging, assuming that the other person that's dancing, they too are following the Lord of the dance and their dance of life. In the book of Genesis, God pronounces it good for us to take this journey together. God created us in his image and said, it is good. And the dance began. And then we have the fall and we forgot how to dance. And in Jesus Christ, we recover that and the dance begins again as we follow the Lord of the dance and maintain our connection and abide in Jesus Christ. God calls us not to be Presbyterians or Methodists or Baptists or Episcopalians or Lutherans or Catholics. He calls us to be followers of Jesus Christ. Maintaining our connection. Taking that step. Getting up and moving. So this week, here's your challenge. Get your dancing shoes out. polish them up a little bit, because you got to look good when you go to the dance. And follow the lead of the Lord of the dance in your life this week. The last thing I would say is a dance is supposed to be enjoyed. It's supposed to be enjoyed, right? And if I'm worried so much about the right step, or I'm worried so much about this, that, or the other, I'm going to miss the joy of the whole thing. My friends, that's exactly what happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord of the dance and enjoy the dance that is in front of you this week. Amen.